How many of you know that Pastor Francis was one very good person in this, in our lives? Can you appreciate him? Amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. There's this chorus that I would like for us to sing. I just felt the Spirit of God just putting it into my spirit. I want you to close your eyes just while seated down. Lift up your hands if you want. But just sing this from your heart, okay? I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I give you praise, for you are the mighty God. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Sing it with me one more time. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none. There is none like you. I give you praise, for you are my
righteousness.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none. Sing one more time with me. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you. Come on, worship the Lord. Open up your mouth and worship him. Worship him. He is worthy. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. You are magnificent. You are excellent. You are wonderful in all your ways. There is no one like you, Jesus. I worship you. We honor you, Lord, in this house. We honor you, Lord, with obligations. We honor you, King of Peace. We honor you, Lord. Glorious is your works, my Father. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, even as we delve in your word this afternoon, this morning, inspire our hearts, Lord, even to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us today. Thank you, Father, for a time of worship. Time of magnifying you, a time of recognizing your power and sovereignty, a time of recognizing your lordship, God, a time of submitting ourselves to you, a time, Lord, of clinging to you, God, our hope of glory, a time, Lord, of recognizing that you've hid us in Christ, a time of recognizing that we have been accepted in the Beloved. We lift up your name and we honor you, Father, this wonderful morning. We declare there is no one like you, Jesus. Our hearts, Father, have a river that flows with gratitude, Lord, and with streams of worship and praise, Father, to your name. Thank you, Father, because at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are the Lord. And I thank you, Father God, even as long as we live in this world, Father, you're holding our hands and leading us, oh God. Father, we worship you and we honor you this wonderful morning. In Jesus' name, we worship and pray. Everybody say amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to recognize the power of God in our midst. For indeed, the power of His Spirit is at work in our lives. And when we surrender, when we yield ourselves unto the Lord, He is able to keep that work going in our hearts, because He is the one who causes us to will and to do that which is the perfect will of the Lord. Amen. In my day-to-day work, I'm really, really privileged to have the opportunity of listening to the Word of God, unlike most of us, you know, who are, you know, in a job where you cannot even, you know, tune to your radio or maybe listen to the Word of God or otherwise. I have an opportunity to listen, to pop on a CD, and I can be doing my work and I'm listening to the Word of the Lord. I listen to men of God, you know, from, you know, as they preach the Word of the Lord. And it's such an encouraging thing, you know. That's part of my life, part of my work that I like. Among us, the things that I like, that I can put a DVD, I mean a CD, while I'm working, and I can listen to the Word of God, and I can tune my radio to 90.9, I can tune my radio to 94.9, you know, KLTY, and listen to some of these wonderful men of God like Chip Ingram, and I know some of you know him, and he's one of your favorite, David Jeremiah, Robert Jeffries, Tony Evans, Chuck Swindoll, you know, John Piper. And I benefit a lot, you know, from the teachings, you know, from some of the teachings that that I get from them, you know. And it's such a great privilege. And as I was searching what the Lord wanted us to hear today, I was really blessed by the ministry of Chip Ingram as he taught, you know, R12. So how many of you are familiar with R12 gospel? Do you listen to Chip Ingram? Huh? He's very, very powerful, and he has a series, you know, that he has taught about Romans 12. He has really inspired me. I also, you know, I've found some teachings from John Piper, seasoned man of God, and I really benefit, you know, from their teachings. And as I was seeking the Lord concerning what we would want to share today, I had to trust the Lord, you know, to give me the word, the Rhema word, and I pulled some excerpts, you know, from their teachings about the will of God. Today we are going to learn about the will of God. Touch somebody who is next to you, tell them the will of God. Amen. You know, in our pursuit for happiness in America, in our pursuit for the purposes of God in our lives, and ever since I was a Christian, I don't think there's been a subject that has really been in at the heart and at the central part of many people, many believers, you know, wanting to know what is the will of God concerning my life in this area? What is the will of God concerning the career that I'm pursuing? What is the will of God concerning my family in this area? What is the will of God concerning the people that are involved in my life? What is the will of God? The will of God is central. It is one of the central concepts that we can ever find in the Word of God. Jesus himself spoke about the will of God. And in some instances, I remember an instance like when he is meeting the Samaritan woman. Some of you know the story in the book of John 4. And his disciples had gone out to buy bread, the Bible says, you know, because they didn't have no food. And Jesus comes into a fountain and he meets a woman by the pool. And there's a dialogue, a communication that is taking place between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And as they continue to talk, and as Jesus is continues to tell her about the good news, you know about how Jesus is talking to her about the living water. His disciples come back, and as they come back, they are surprised to see Jesus talking to a woman. And at that particular moment, I don't know what was going through their minds, you know, finding the Messiah, the teacher, the rabbi, talking to this woman. And as they're coming to Jesus, Jesus is weary. And as they're looking at him, he looks hungry. And Jesus is telling them, hey, you know what? We got some food. I think you need to stop and sit down and eat. But the answer that Jesus answers his disciples is really astonishing. And he tells the disciples and tells them this: I've got some food, and the kind of food that I have, you do not understand. You know, that my food and drink is to do the will of God. Praise the Lord. If we can stop for a minute and think about what food does to our bodies, food gives us nourishment, right? Without food, we can die. Without drink and water, we only have a few days before we are done. Our life is done here on earth. So food is essential for our livelihood. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he is telling them, excuse me. Jesus is telling them that my food and drink is to do the will of God. Amen. I know Jesus needed the physical food, but he was speaking. There's something very special that he was speaking to his disciples so that he could, because he wanted them to know, to understand his mission here on earth. And Jesus cut it so clearly to them and told them that I have some kind of food, some special food that you may not really understand. My food and drink is to do the will of God. So Jesus also valued the will of God. There's also some instances, like in the book of John 5, chapter number 5, verse 30. If you're writing down, you can write it down, and you can go read at home. This is what the Bible says. Jesus speaking, and he says, by myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but to him who sent me. In other words, he's saying, I can do nothing by myself. The things that you see me do, the miracles that you see me perform, the blind eyes that I open, the counsel that I speak, and the teachings that you see me teach, I am not able to accomplish things by my own. In other words, my will is disassociated or is disconnected from what I do. I am here on a mission. I am here to do my Father's will. Praise the Lord. And he says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Praise the Lord. So the will of God is very, very essential. I believe second to the fact that we have acquired knowledge about our salvation, and that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, Jesus giving his life on the cross, and you know, giving up his life on our behalf, and us coming to him, you know, through the blood of Jesus, and we've been saved. I believe next to that, very closely next to that, is knowing how to do the will of God. Praise the Lord. So I'd like you to journey with me even as we dissect the concept about the will of God. And I know that maybe some questions that you had, you know, wanting to know, is this the will of God concerning my child? Is this the will of God concerning this thing that I'm doing right now? Is this the will of God concerning my career? What is the will of God concerning the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm involved in right now? And I believe even as we dissect this, we're gonna be blessed, and the Lord is gonna really unveil some mysteries to us. Now, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 29, verse number 29, that the things that are hidden belong to what? Belong to God. But the things that have been revealed are for us. God reveals certain things for a purpose. There are things, however, we would want to know, they will never be revealed in this life. But the Bible says that those things that have been hidden belong to who? belong to Jehovah, our God. But the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, the things that the Lord has allowed us to know in His Word, those are for us. And they have been revealed not for any other reason, that we may connect ourselves with those things that have been revealed, and that we may possess them, and that we may claim them, if they, be it be promises, be it things that the Lord has spoken concerning our livelihood. Those things are for us and our posterity. But the things that are hidden, there's nothing we can do about them. The Bible says that those things belong to Jehovah our God. And so I'm really delighted by what David said in Psalm 40, verse number 8. And you're gonna see the essence of why David said this, spoke this in Psalm 40, verse number 8. The Bible says that I delight to do your will, oh my God. My law is within my heart. Can you say that with me? I delight to do your will. Come on, say it aloud. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. In order for us to delight to do, or to do the will of God, we have to be connected with the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word that is written in this book of life. The Word of God is the spoken Word of God in the Word of God. Praise be to God. In order for us to be completely be in a position of strength to adjudicate the will of God concerning our lives, there's no way we can separate our connecting ourselves or our doing the will of God. There's no way we can disconnect ourselves from this word. So the word of God, and David said that I delight to do thine will. Why do I delight to do thine will? Oh, because the law is within my heart. In other words, the word within me compels me to do the will of God. Are you with me? The word of God, the word that is hidden within your heart, the word that when you study the word of God, when you hear the word of God being taught in you, it is hidden in the crevices of your heart. And what that word does, it compels you to do what is the perfect will of God. Are you with me up to this point? Praise be to God. Now, before we can even delve into knowing what the will of God is, we really need to understand, okay, what is the Word of God? What is the power of this Word? Is it just a collection of some books that, you know, a few men of God came to write and we just read it? Or is this just like any literature book? What is this book? Open your Bible into the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, verses 12. And at that point, it will be able to define to us what the Word of God is and what it's able to do. Somebody found it? Can you read it? Hebrews 4, chapter number 12. There you go. If you don't have if you have not found it, it is there. This is what the Bible says. For the word of God is living. What is the word of God? The word of God is what? The word of God is living and it is effective. In other words, the word of God is alive. Praise the Lord. This word that we read every time when you hear it being preached, whether it is through Chuck Swindoll, whether it is through Chip Ingram, whether it is through John Piper, or whoever is your favorite, David Jeremiah, that word that is being spoken into your life, that word is living. It is a living organism. It has an effect. It is not dead. It is alive. And the Bible also says that this word is effective. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Have you ever seen a two-edged sword in your kitchen? Like, you know, everybody has a knife in your kitchen. You don't play with a knife, right? If you find your child playing with a knife, what do you do? Do you encourage them to play with a knife? The first thing, you don't even want to scare them. You tell them, "Oh, daddy, come here, mommy, come here. You know, can you bring?" You don't even want to scare them. And you want to pull it slowly from their hands. You don't even pull it so fast because you can cut them, right? So the Bible says that the word of God is more than that. The word of God is more than a double-edged sword. It is sharper than any double-edged sword.
It penetrates as far as to divide the soul. My goodness. This is exactly what happens when in the hearing of this word right now. If you can just give it the complete focus that God wants us to give it, this is what the Word of God is able to do. No literature, no CNN report that you can read, no blog that you can read has an ability to penetrate your soul except this word. Hallelujah. Huh? That's why when you read sometimes the Word of God, it does some things that you don't even understand. You read the Word of God and it knocks down some things and you don't even, suddenly, you are in a complete oblivion of the things that were around you. But when you feed yourself the Word of God, things begin to change. Why? Because this word, not only is it alive, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. In other words, it has an ability to penetrate through your body, your spirit, and your things, the things that you are not able to see. Praise the Lord. It penetrates as far as to divide the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. Oh, my goodness. I wish I have even time now to talk about the soul. We talk about the spirit, the joints. Think about it. The Bible is not talking about things that are not literal. It is really literally talking about your joints. We continue, if we read the word of the Lord continuously and feed ourselves to the ministry of this word, let me tell you, arthritis will never catch us. Because why? Because the word of God is able to penetrate through us. It talks about the joints and the marrow. What is the function of the marrow? Come on. Medical people. This church has almost 99% medical people, nurses. What is the work of the marrow in your bone? Okay, some of you, do you know what marrow is? Somebody say tombo. Okay, what is the function of the marrow inside your bone? It is that soft tissue. That even when you're eating chicken, some of us, like in the olden days, we used to crack when you're eating like a chicken leg. I still do that today, some habits, by the way. when you're eating a bone, I want to crack it so that I can get the marrow. And some of us, like if you slaughter a goat, you made sure that you had that bone, that piece so that you can break it against the rock or hit it with a Pastor Francis has done it, and you'd go... Now, some of you really don't like that experience, but sometimes I do it, even today, because I like it. But I like it when it is cooked. Do not take blood the marrow when it is uncooked. So what is the function of the marrow? It produces the red blood cells, right? And so what does the red blood cells do? They form the blood, right? It is a major ingredient of the blood, right? So you see what the Word of God does? It penetrates as far as dividing the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. The very constituent that gives you life. That is exactly what the Word of God does. It is a judge of the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. My God. It is the judge of the ideas. In other words, it is the rich counsel. Pastor Karanja talked to us about counsel. If you want a rich counsel, the Word of God will come and, when you read it, and you're in the midst of making a judgment call. Do you know sometimes, you might be in your life, whether you like it or not, you'll be called upon to make some judgment calls, to make some decisions. Okay, what am I supposed to do in this area? What am I supposed to do in the other area? The Word of God is the word. It is the judge of the ideas and the thoughts of the heart. In other words, in order for us to determine what is the perfect ideas and the things that are going to be beneficial to us, things that are going to fit to the purposes for which God has called us to do, we cannot separate ourselves from this word. So this is more than just a literature. It is a powerful word. My God, are you listening to me? And that gives us all the opportunity, like when you're driving down the road, whatever you're doing, as whenever you have the opportunity to listen to the Word of God, just tune in, because when that word gets into you, it causes some things that you are not able to see. It penetrates into your joints, it penetrates into your marrow, and it is there as a judge to help you determine what is good and what is right and what is between the wrong and the rightful things in your life. Praise be to God. That is what the Word of God is.
Turn your Bibles into the book of Jeremiah 23, 29. Let's see what the Bible says about the word of God.
We want to find out, because we cannot really separate ourselves from knowing the will of God unless we connect ourselves to the word. So what we are trying to do right now is trying to see what the word of God, the effectiveness of the word of God, that when we cling ourselves to the word of God, what is it able to do? Now, this is exactly what the Bible says. Is it not my word? This is the word of God. Is it not my word like? Can you read it out aloud with me? Is not my word like, say? Is not my word like? Okay, what does fire do? It burns. It consumes, right? Fire consumes. How many of you would like to just play with fire? I remember when I was a little kid, you know the way you have those candles? And I was really mesmerized by the way the dancing candle. When you lit a candle, you know the way the frame goes, it is going on the left, it is kind of like dancing. So I really wanted to know, what is this? I mean, I was so naive. I wanted to know when I was really young, you know, why is this frame dancing on the candle like this? So I would take my finger, oh, and it burns. And that's sometimes there's a saying in Swahili that says, Mtoto akililia wembe. I don't know whether that is right. Is that right, Beatrice? Mtoto akililia wembe mpe. Okay, well. I don't know whether I would really want to give a child a wembe, because they're going to cut themselves. But the Bible says, is not my word like fire, says Jehovah, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock into pieces. For some of you who do a little bit of construction in your homes and have maybe used a hammer can be used to nail down a nail. And you know what? The force that hammer hit that nail to go down, it is really concentrated on one spot. And so the hammer has the ability to shatter a rock into pieces, right? This is what the Bible says. The Lord is putting a symbolism to his word. It says, it's not like my word like fire. In other words, foundations or anything that would clog us up, or anything that would need to be burned, anything that would need to be consumed, the word of God has an ability to burn it up. Praise be to God. The word of God also is able to be like a tool that will break anything within our lives, anything, things that are habits that may have tried to do away with. The word of God is able to break those habits into pieces. The word of God has an ability to break and to dismantle things that you'd want dismantled in your life. Remember, the end goal is to do the will of God. I don't want to lose you. Please, don't be lost, okay? The end goal, we want to determine how we can do the will of God. So right now, we are just trying to see what the word of God has an ability to do. We have found in Hebrews 4, verses number 12, that the word of God is active and alive. It has an ability to penetrate into the joints, the bones, the marrows, the very constituents that make life. The word of God is able to penetrate into those areas. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me up to this point? Now, there's nowhere I know in the Bible, I know there are so many portions of the scripture where it's really explained clear cut, other than in Romans 12, the first and the second verses. And that's where we would like us to go. In the book of Romans, Paul speaking to the Romans, he is explaining to them about what it takes to be a doer or a performer, or to be at a position whereby you are confident that you're doing the will of the Lord. And that is what I want us to read right now, okay? I know this is a very familiar portion of the scripture, and most of you know it by heart, but I would like to dissect it a little bit. This is what the Bible says. Romans 12, the first two verses. Okay, this is what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, Paul is like pleading to the Romans. And he's telling them, I would like you above everything else to give my attention to the words that I'm just about to tell you. Because if you can hear these words contain life. These words contain counsel that is so unique and so rich. I beseech you, therefore, I really ask you kindly to stop everything you're doing and listen to what I'm telling you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, one that is holy and acceptable to what? To God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, hear from this translation. This is what the Bible says. Paul speaking to the Romans, this is what he says. I appeal to you, brethren, in other words, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, to present your bodies as holy, to present your bodies as acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Somebody say spiritual worship. I really thank God for Brother Israel, Julius, and Sister Kathy, and Sister Lorraine, and JJ, and Nathan for what they brought to us last Sunday. Very, very powerful service last Sunday. They were talking to us about what worship is. It is an expression. I remember I saw that clip, you know, where Nathan said worship is an expression of yourself to God, how you love him, how you really recognize his sovereignty and his lordship. He is up there and he is the creator of the universe. He puts everything together, holds everything. Is that expression that you're giving to that the deity, our God? Praise be to God. But in this portion of the scripture, what is our spiritual worship? Spiritual worship is the life. It is a spontaneous thing. Whether you're working, you're doing spiritual worship. As long as you've been born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, your lifestyle ought to be a spiritual worship. Are you listening to me? By the masses of God, I urge you to present your bodies. Presenting your bodies is like, it's just like as you leave, you're a walking epistle, okay? People who surround you, people who you work with, people who know you are able to be presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ by your body, by the way you dress, by the way you talk, by the way you take your life, by the words of your mouth. Are you listening to me? We are a moving epistle. We are a moving gospel. People, let me tell you, there's some instances when you sometimes, Pastor Francis, you don't have to preach to somebody. But just the way you present and the way you carry yourself, they're able to determine and wonder, okay, there's something that is very unique in this person. What is it that they have that I don't have? Because you're presenting your body as acceptable to God. When they see you, they're not only seeing a body that is just moving. They're not just seeing a person who is full of principles and concepts of life, but your concepts have been ingrained with the will of God. They have been ingrained and mixed up homogeneously, but with the word of God, so that everything about you is about Christ. You presented your bodies as living sacrifices. You presented your bodies that are holy. You presented your bodies as a living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, do not be conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just that right there. Now, why does the Bible tell us not to be conformed to the patterns? Actually, in some other portions of the scripture, the Bible says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. What is wrong with the patterns of this world? What happens? Is there anything wrong with the patterns of this world? Church, I'm asking you, is there anything wrong with the patterns of this world? No, yes. Yes, there is, right? The patterns of this world were distorted from the time Adam and Eve were introduced into, when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. When they disobeyed God, God gave them a set of instructions. He told them, you're supposed to eat from every fruit, you know, you're supposed to do this, but in the from the fruits of the tree in the center of the garden, you're not supposed even to touch. Now, when they disobeyed God, the patterns of this world changed. They changed completely. And that's why the devil here has he's come down as the prince of this earth. So that, you know what, sometimes you wonder when you're a believer how things are spoken. Like, for example, let me give you a very good example. Have you realized lately the way they talk about sexuality in America? For example, it is like, you know, a long time ago, those things you could not even mention. It was like almost an abomination, you know, to talk even about gayism and lesbianism. You know, it was, exactly, Pastor. It was like a taboo. Have you realized lately people are speaking to it openly? Actually, it is actually penetrated in some of the denominations in churches where now they can ordain an openly gay bishop. Have you seen that in some denominations? Why do you think it's so? Let me tell you, like yesterday, I was listening to somebody, you know, from NPR. He was a gay reporter, okay? And he is speaking accusations. I can never be proud. You know, it's like, I said, wait a minute. First of all, even before you talk about gays and lesbianism, how do you even go into that? Because it is clearly on the word of God that God is against this. And if the foundations of this country were founded, you know, in the Belian principles, in God, the foundations of these nations were founded in God. How far have we drifted whereby even the president of the United States in his inaugural address, do you hear what he said? We cannot rest until the law is equal, is applied equally to people who are lesbians and people who are... God, I mean, did you even catch that? Did you catch that? Now, sexuality used to be a moral issue long time ago. And then people, you can agree with me, some of you, you know, who are well-versed with the political scenarios. You know, they say you cannot sometimes legislate morality. But it used to be, but now it is drifting from becoming even a moral issue. It is now an equality thing. We have to fight for equal rights. You know, a man and a man can marry, and they also need to derive benefits that are supposed to be given to a man and a wife, you know, if they have their benefits that they're supposed to get. Patterns of this world. And they're slowly penetrating even into the church, whereby if we do not, I mean, this is what I said, man, listen. If the president of the United States can even say that we are not going to rest, how much more ought we not even rest to pray against the spirit? The spirit, this we know exactly where the spirit came from. It came from Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is the grand old snakey, the grand old devil is trying to creep in into the world today. And so it appears like it is normal even to talk about. We can accept now. And let me tell you, like the Boy Scout case. Have you guys read about the Boy Scout? The Boy Scout has been founded through Christian principles. But you know what they have done now? It receives funding from the government. And now some of the organizations that fund the Boy Scout have withdrawn their funding. And so they cannot even operate. And so you know what? What they're doing? I think we need to reconsider now. I think if a scout chapter wants to, and the reason why the funding has been withdrawn is because they do not allow any gay or gay people just joining the Boy Scout. And so as a consequence, they are suffering the lack of funding because of that. And so what do you know what they're doing? They're saying, I think we really need to reconsider. Then any chapter that really needs to allow gays to serve in the scouts, it could be okay. Why? Because they need the funding. But are we going to compromise knowing what is wrong? Do you think there's going to be a time here in this church where we're going to openly declare that it is okay? We can ordain a gay or a lesbian in our church? Never. No, on top of my dead body. We will never. We'll have to stand our grounds. Let me tell you, those people, they're in sin. And you're not supposed to hate them. We are supposed to love them, right? But you know what? We will allow them to come in. They can be allowed to come into the church. And the way I view them, I would view them just like the way I view any other lost sinner. Are you listening to me? Now, listen, turn your Bibles into the book of 1 Corinthians, if this serves me well. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 7. Can you read there? Following. Sister Lorraine, can you give me that? Are you with me up to this point? Can we start 1 Corinthians chapter number 5? I remember there was a... One sister gave me this verse one day, and I don't know whether she can remember. The Lord gave her this scripture to give to me one time, long time ago. Can somebody read from, hold on. I want you to show how serious these things are. I'm sure you like this. Okay. Can somebody read from verse number 1? I have a Bible that has thighs and thous. Read from verse number 1, verse chapter number 5. Somebody, who has it? Okay. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or a disobeyer, be such and one no not to
Yeah, that's enough. Okay, this is what, simply, this is what the Bible says. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians and he's telling them, I am not really talking about the people who are in sin, people who are ungenerated, because, you know, you'd have to come out of this world in order to. Are you listening to me? So the whole issue about gays and lesbians, I would treat them the way I would treat somebody who is ungenerated. I will love them because God wants me to love them with the idea that they can surrender their lives and come over to Christ, right? But I'm not going to be a partaker in order to please them. Are you listening to me? And this is what Paul is writing here, that you know what? We are not talking about the people who are in sin, you know, not to hate them, to hate the fornicators. The people who are sinners, all they know is about sinning. They know about fornicating. They know about covetousness, drunkenness. We are supposed to go actually among them and bring them into Christ. But he is speaking about people who are brothers and sisters and doing these things, and he's saying, do away with their fellowship. Are you listening to me? There's no way we can allow somebody who is openly gay to come and serve in the church and call them a brother. How are we going to do that? Somebody who is a lesbian and call them a sister in the Lord. Oh, you're welcome, sister. You know, sister in the Lord. Sister in the Lord. And by the way, they know, you know, the way they talk in a,
Have you ever? By the way, one time I was doing a cable business, and I think I've given this story. And I'm going, I never knew about this thing since I came to America. I don't think I heard about this. And I'm going into this home, I'm going to reconnect cable for somebody. And I might be meeting a guy, and he's a guy, but he is dressed like a woman. Actually, I really got shocked. I thought, what is happening? I thought actually I was, you know the way you can shake yourself to see whether things are working out right? And this guy says, oh, you know, my husband is not here, and you know, you can come another time. I'm like, you're a guy, you're telling me your husband is. And now when I learned about all these things, I said, wow, this is really a reality in America. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. So the Bible says, do not be conformed to the patterns of. There are so many things that are going to be, they're going to camouflage themselves like they are right. Okay? And they're going to be spoken even by the governments. But we have to really know. That's why it's very, very important. And the Bible is telling us, do not be conformed to the patterns of this earth. It is very easy for us to be conformed to the patterns of this world. The greed of life. You know, I want to get the dollar. You want to get it all. That is the spirit of the world. You know? The Bible says, you remember about the rich man coming to Jesus? He said it is difficult even for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God than a thread to get in through the what? Than a camel to get through the needle of the eye. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know, there's so many things. The needle of the eye, whatever. But you understand. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. There are so many things that we can be caught up with here in the world, thinking that we're in the right way of doing things, but we are actually, what we are doing, we are being conformed to the patterns of this earth. And we have to be sensitive as children of God. Praise be to the Lord. Now, can you bring up Romans 12, one and two there, Sister Lorraine? Do not be conformed to the patterns of this earth, okay, Sister Lorraine? Okay, do not be fashioned according to this world. In other words, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you, how are we going to renew our mind? Be ye transformed. Trans, move. Trans means to move, yeah? To translocate, to move, to shift. Transformed. Already our minds have been formed in a certain way when we were ungenerated. When we never knew Jesus, all our minds were full. We had a sinful attitude towards everything. That's, we were conformed to the patterns of this earth. But the Bible says if we want to change and look, have a different outlook, it will have to begin at a certain point, and it will begin with our minds. Can somebody say amen? It will have to begin with our mind. The Bible says, be ye formed. It has already been formed. But it will have to be reformed. It has to be completely shifted. It has to be completely lifted off. The old form has to go. It has to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? How is our mind going to be renewed? We are going to be renewed when we read the Word of God. The Word of God is active and alive. It penetrates into our bones and our marrows. It penetrates into our spirits, our souls, and it is a judge to the ideas and things that come to us. When we submit ourselves to that Word, which is like fire, which is like a rock, it is able to come and do a reconstruction work within us. How are we going to be transformed in our mind? It is by submitting. This is like surrendering ourselves to the Word of God so that we can allow the Word of God to only do what the Word of God can do in us. Are you listening to me? So that we can allow the Word of God to only what the Word of God is able to do in our lives. Praise be to God. And that's why we cannot be disconnected from this Word, because we need, in order, our outlook of life, the way we serve the Lord, the way we fulfill our purposes, cannot be fulfilled as long as we are conformed to the patterns of this world, because the patterns of this world are anti-God.
The patterns have been structured in a way that, you know, that these patterns, if we conform ourselves to them, they are anti-God. The reasoning is anti-God. Everything about the patterns of this world is anti-God. But the world would like to push the conformity of the world to us as believers. Are you listening to me? It has to start with our mind. Now, while we are on this, have you ever, like I have done, prayed for the Lord to give us, Lord, show me what to do. Show me what to do. Give me a revelation of this. I need a revelation. I need a revelation. I need to hear your voice. I need to hear your voice. Or have you ever been like me? I remember many times we used to have conventions. Catherine knows about the maturity conventions. We used to have maturity conventions. And let me tell you, every time we'd have visitors from the USA, they would come and there would be that session whereby, you know, a man of God would be moved by the word of knowledge. And they would say, you sister, come here. And hey, you brother, come here. Let me tell you, I really love that. Even today, by the way, I love to be in a service whereby people are being called out and they're given the word of the Lord. But you know what? In those days, the difference was I thrived in that. I waited for the maturity convention, my sister, in a number of years just to for those men. And actually, I would sit on the front chairs so that they would beckon me. I'm serious. I thrived in that. In fact, let me tell you, every time the maturity convention would end, and actually it came year after year, would have maturity conventions in August. And I can tell you, before the Lord, I was never even called even one of those. I was never called. But people were being called, come here, come here. Let me tell you, at the end of the convention, I was depressed. I was saying, what is maturity, this convention, like, even we have year after year? These men even never see me. They never even recognize that. They cannot even call me. Kwani, God doesn't have a word for me. I am serious. Hiya. You see, like, I'm joking. It was true. Every year, I was really, really distraught, and I was saying, this much, they're calling Julius, they're calling Charity, they're calling my wife, and everybody, you know, they have their word, and you can hear them tearing away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because they have been given the word of the Lord. I remember this guy was called, and he was being laid hands, and I've told you this story, Mangut. The guy was called Mangut, and they tried to lay hands, and you know the way the people are laying hands, and they fall. And by the way, I also love that too. But this guy, when they lay hands on him, the guy kept moving. He was laid like this. He's moving. He's moving. And tried to put it like, he's moving. And actually, he went to the end of the church, which was about 40 feet or more. So I was wondering, what is all this? You know? Have you been ever in a, especially when where we have come from, you'd hear like Reverend Bonke or Benny Hinn or Maurice Cerullo, people who thrived in those, you know, oh, Maurice Cerullo is coming to Tanzania, and they would work hard, they would go to Tanzania. Following that, they would want to see that move. By the way, I love that too, even today. But you know what? I don't thrive in it. You see the difference? There are people who, today I believe that God surely, I know God is with me. And I know if I speak a word, my God hears. And I know if I'm connected with him, he can do the same things that he can do when Benny Hinn lays hands on me or I pray for myself. So I don't thrive in those. So even if a man of God would come here and never call my name, I would say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The service was fought, it was powerful, and the Lord moved. Unlike what I used to do in the maturity conventions, I would not even talk to anybody. The Lord never called me. This is the word. Renewing. Renewing. Actually, underline it in your Bible. Renewing your mind. It has to renew your mind. See what the Bible says. By the renewing of your mind, and you may prove. My God, I love this. And that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of. Listen what the Bible says here. I love this, man. Listen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that the testing you may that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So in other words, when your mind is renewed, accept some testing. And when those testings come, they want to make sure that you're in a rightful position in order to know this is right and this is wrong. This is right and this is wrong. This career is right and this career is wrong. But it will start have to start with it. So, it is okay? Is it okay to just pray? God, I need your voice. I need your voice. I need Lord to see you. Have you seen those like Gideon? He lay a skin, you know, to say, Lord, if it is you, let dew be on this side. Let the dew be everywhere, but not on my skin. It is right. Is it okay to do those things? It is okay. I believe it is okay to do those things. But it is okay. Is it more important to have your mind transformed? You know, let me tell you guys. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. The voice, this is what the Spirit of God told me when I was preparing for this. What good does the voice of God have to you or to me if I'm still conformed to the patterns of this world? What good does it do? What the Word of God does is that it comes, it connects with your renewed mind in order to perform results, to get results, in order for you to get determined proper results that the Lord really would have you have. The Word of God connects with a renewed mind. But what good would be the voice of God? Eh? What good would be John 10:10 be to you if the voice of God comes and finds a mind that is conformed to the patterns of this earth? You know what? The Word of God is going to come and it is going to contain the power that it has. But you know what? When it defines a conformity to the patterns of this world, you know what is going to happen? You're going to doubt it. You're going to say, no, you know what? You're going to mistreat it. You're going to shower it, water it down. You're going to say, oh, this is just the Word, you know. But this is Pastor Francis. We know Pastor Francis. We know even where he was. What does he want to say? Tell us. But he is carrying the message of the Most High God. When the word he preaches meets with a conformed and a renewed heart, expect a change to occur. Expect a change to occur. And this is what the Bible says, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to the persons, but be transformed by the renewing of mind, that by testing, somebody say testing, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you believe that there are things that are good? Do you believe that God has some things that are good for you? Do you believe that there are some things that are not necessarily written in the Bible concerning your daily activities that are good and God wants you to have them? Come on now. Do you believe so? Do you believe there are things that are acceptable and things that are unacceptable to a believer? Do you also believe that there are things that are perfect and things that are not perfect for you? Is everything that you see good for you, even though it appeals to you? Right? But how are we going to know that? How are we going to be able to determine? Because the conformity of this world is so much. The devil comes and camouflages himself as an angel of light. It is almost so, let me tell you, unless you are really in God, you can easily be carried over by this talk about gays and lesbianism. Why do I say that? Because it has penetrated in some hierarchy of the church and they have accepted to ordain an openly gay bishop. You see what I'm trying to tell you? It is easily for that to penetrate into the church. But unless we hold our ground strong, those things are not going to affect us. Are you listening to me? So when the time of testing comes, then we'll be able to know what is good, pleasing, and a perfect will of who? Of God. Now listen, I'm not going to continue. I'm going to stop from there. But next week, I'm going to show you the two wheels of God, and three ways of how we can progressively know that we know that we are in a position to adjudicate the will of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. Just to paraphrase on this, and we're going to share this next week. There, in the whole of this Bible, there are two kinds of wills of God in our lives. Number one, there is the sovereign will of God. Somebody say sovereign will of God. Sovereign will of God are things that, you know, God said from the foundations of the earth to happen, and you cannot change them. They are unchangeable. Whether you like it, you can pray and fast, but they are unchangeable. Can I give you an example? The death of Jesus on the cross. the Lord actually preordained Jesus to die even before the foundations of the earth so that he would die for you and me. And Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is in a position, he's overwhelmed. You know, in the book of Matthew, he is so overwhelmed. And he prays to the Father with his disciples. He takes a few disciples and leaves them, oh, you know what, I need company right now. I need somebody who can stand with me. Have you ever been in a position where sometimes you feel you need company? Somebody who are serious and people who can stand with you to pray? And he told them, okay, is it John, Peter and James or the three disciples? Please, can you tarry with me? And the other disciples actually would not even pray. But Jesus went, the Bible says that he prayed, Lord, I know this has been, Jesus knew it has been set from the foundations of the earth. He says, Father, but if it is possible, Lord, remove this cup from me. But not my will, but your will. There's nothing Jesus would have done at that particular point concerning what was already said by God. That is the sovereign will of God. You know, unless for divine interventions, the things have been said to operate on the earth, the sun rising from the earth rotating, whatever. You know, us enjoying the sun during the day and having the sun not here on the night. It has been set, right? And except for Joshua, whom people held their hands to stop the movement of the earth so that the sun stayed at a standstill until they would fight their enemies, it has been set, you know? And the sun, you know, at a certain period of the year, it will be in Johannesburg, there will be summer, and it will be winter. And when we are summer, they are winter. You cannot change that. Whether you fast and pray, it has already been sovereign will of God. Things that have been said, they are unchangeable. God decides to love who he wants to love and to hate who he wants to hate. If he wants to give you a brand new car, he chooses. And no one can change that. It is the sovereign will of God. If God today decides that you're going to drive a beautiful Mercedes like the one our brother Julius drives, he will give it to you. And nobody can change that. Because it is the sovereign will of God. And then we have what we call the revealed will of God. Now, the revealed will of God is the will that we read from the Bible. The God tells us, do not do this. Do not do this. Do not conform this. Do not do the other. And we are going to check that into the details next week, okay? So, have you been blessed? Let's stand on our feet, please. Praise the Lord. Somebody knows that we end our service at one. That's why somebody's calling somebody. Father God, I want to declare your blessing over your people right now. I pray that this word will not be stolen, O Jesus. Father God, let be imprinted, Lord, in the crevices of our heart, that we're going to chew on it, we're going to ruminate on it, Lord, and we are not going to be distracted to know what your perfect will is. We know, we shall know by the end of this mini-series how we ought to access the realms and positions whereby we can be adjudicating the will of God in our lives. I pray that this thing is going to be clear, and I pray that you shall minister to us. Father, I thank you and I bless you. You might be here, you might be sick in your body, and you need prayer, or you need a special prayer for whatever it is that you need prayer for. You need God, you need God's intervention in your life. Lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. We are going to pray with you, join with you, and believe God with you. Lift up your hand. Why don't you come over here to the altar just as a sign of surrender to the Lord? Just come here. Let us pray together. If you need prayer, just come over here. You know, you're just not coming to me as a pastor, but you're coming to the Lord, and you're coming to the altar. Just lift up your hand as you come here, and the Lord knows you. He sees your surrender. He sees your attitude. He knows you. The Bible says that everything lays bare before him. Nothing is hidden before the Lord. Is there anybody who needs a breakthrough, a miracle? Just come before the Lord. Amen. And we who are standing there, if you don't need anything from the Lord, can you speak a prayer concerning this beloved brother and sister who have come here? Just intercede for them right now. Come on, church. Intercede for them. Whatever it is that they need from the Lord, let it come through for them in the name of Jesus. Let it come through in the name of the Lord. Whatever it is that you need, Sister Purity, receive it from the Lord. Receive it from the throne room of God in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold belongs to the Lord. Is the Lord not rich? Is the Lord not able to accomplish everything that he needs in your life?
Oh yes, the Bible says that all the cattle in a thousand hills belong to him. All the ideas that you need belongs to him. Hallelujah. Receive from the throne room of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you. We honor you. We give you praise. We give you power. We give you glory. Yes, in the name of Jesus. You might be here. You might be even sick in your body. You might be sick in your body. Just lift up your hand. We're going to pray with you. Is there anybody who is sick in their body right now? You're here. You've never given your life to Jesus. And you're saying, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you. I want to begin a brand new life with you. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone who wants to receive the Lord? Hallelujah. Father, I want to declare your very special blessings over your people. I pray that this coming week, Lord, will be one of the greatest week that they have ever experienced. I pray that you shall grant them favor, Lord, both with men and with yourself. In the name of Jesus, make clear what plans they have, Lord, that is unclear. In the name of Jesus, I break the barrier of sin. In the name of Jesus, I break the impediments that are brought about by the enemy. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will be able to see the answer. I pray they will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and I bless you. I speak prosperity over your people in the name of Jesus. Give them empowerment, Lord, even to make wealth in the name of Jesus, so that they can serve them, they can serve you, Lord, and also meet the supply and the demands of the needs that they have in their lives in the name of Jesus. Give them good friends, give them good relations and accomplices, Lord, who are going to multiply and add into their lives in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the devil who comes to steal the vitalities that you're placed into their lives in the name of Jesus. Grant them breakthroughs, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray that you shall embolden their walk, Lord. I pray that you shall give them confidence even to face this life, Lord, with agility. Yes, my God, and with the confidence that you've held their hands and that you will never leave them, neither forsake them. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.